coming to hear a sermon, but you're actually going to get a little bit of an English lesson. In the gospel lesson for tonight, for this week that we've been looking at from Luke chapter 17, verses 1 to 10. The modern English language is quite important here because Jesus speaks his words, three imperatives. What is an imperative? An imperative, you have no choice. You have to. That's the simplest way to put it. An imperative, okay? You must breathe. Okay? That's an imperative. Now, rebuke me or disagree with me that you don't have to breathe. I'm not going to sit here and watch you turn over. But it's an imperative that you must breathe. Okay? It's got to be an imperative that you must wear clothes. Thank goodness I'm wearing clothes. That's an imperative. You must wear clothes. Otherwise, you're going to get arrested. And you're going to offend, or I'm going to offend, a lot of people. So Jesus uses three imperatives. You know how we get wrapped up with numbers sometimes, the three. But there are three imperatives in this gospel lesson here. Follow along with me. Verse 1. And Jesus said to his disciples, temptations or stumbling blocks to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than he should cause one of these believers to stumble or sin. Here they come. Number one, pay attention to yourselves. Notice there's an exclamation point. It's an imperative. Pay attention to yourselves. Here comes the second. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If your brother sins, rebuke him. Now, you got to know what rebuking is. And in a Christian manner, rebuking your brother or your neighbor is a very delicate thing. You done messed up. You done wrong. You blew it. You made a big mistake. Get out of here. And you've lost your brother. So to rebuke your brother of a sin he's committed, it's not political correctness, but to rebuke him, you have to do it the right way. But you have to get the point across too. You're doing it wrong. And here comes the third one. If he repents, forgive him. What's repent means he doesn't do it anymore. You have to forgive him. And Jesus goes on to say, and if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. So there's three imperatives here. Three of them. Consider yourself. Pay attention to yourselves. Not your neighbor. You know the old adage? Let him who has no sin cast the first stone. Or he who lives in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Now if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Got to back up a little bit. When Jesus said to his disciples, the English Standard Version, which is what's printed in your bulletin, says, temptations to sin. It actually, the wording in the Greek, it says stumbling blocks. You know what a stumbling block is? Something that you're going to trip over. You have to understand that. it's something that you're going to lay out in front of somebody that's going to make them trip, make them fall, a stumbling block. Well, these are sure to come, Jesus says. It's going to happen. You're going to be tempted. There's going to be things you are going to trip over. For sure and for certain. Matter of fact, there's an exclamation point again. Now, there's a woe here. W-O-E, woe. These are bad. When Jesus gives out a woe, that's bad. You don't want to be against this. So he says, woe to the one, well, maybe it says, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to, it says sin, but stumble. If you were the one that caused someone else to sin because of your position in your station in life, you see, we're all older folks here tonight. We all have responsibilities. We all have people who look at us for explanation, guidance, comfort, and a lot of things. And if we cause one of those who believe in Jesus Christ to stumble, there's a woe to you. Woe to you. I mean, he doesn't beat around the bush here, does he? If you cause a believer, that's one of these little ones, it's not necessarily just a child. You can have a person who's young in the faith, an adult. He's believing in Jesus Christ, but his faith may not be as strong as yours, and maybe yours is already lacking a little bit, and you cause one of those who have little faith to stumble. What is the woe that Jesus has for you? A millstone. Now, when I was in Israel, I saw many millstones all over the place. They were everywhere because it's hard to get rid of. They were solid chunks of granite. They were carved. It was looked like a wheel. And it was used, you know, in an olive press or a wine press. An olive press mostly for the olive oil. And these things were huge and they were heavy. They were a lot heavier, me or you. And to have one of those tied around your neck and cast into the sea. Well, the sea, you know, the sea, whenever that's brought up in the Bible, is not a good place. Leviathan, the nasty stuff of the deep. You're going to meet them. So, he says, don't fuss with those stumbling blocks. You should be paying attention to yourselves that you don't cause one of these little ones to sin. And if your brother comes to you and he sins, rebuke him. Show him his sin. Make him aware of it in a really good way. I almost said nice. There's no nice way to say it, you know? We just confessed. I, a poor, miserable sinner, didn't we? We all said it. I listened. We said, I, a poor, miserable sinner. You were paying attention to yourself. You shouldn't have been paying attention to what anybody else was saying. But she didn't say that. No, you should be paying attention to yourself. That's what Jesus just said. Pay attention to yourselves. Are you doing what the Lord has commanded you to do? These are imperatives. This is what you are to do. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You ever tell that to a kid? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You clean your room this afternoon. Did they do it? No. That's why he says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother comes to you and he has sinned, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And we're told again how often that may happen and how often you're to forgive him. It doesn't matter how many times. He says 7 times. Doesn't matter how many times they have sinned against you. You must forgive them. That's what Jesus says. It's an imperative that you must forgive your brother if he repents. If he comes to you and says, I'm sorry. I mean, you've back to your kids. Who's had a little child come up? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I made that dent in the wall with the door. I didn't mean to do it. Or, I'm sorry, Dad, I tore apart your lawnmower. Now I don't know how to put it back together. I got to look for it, but I still got to use that lawnmower many a time. But I don't matter how many times he comes to you and says he's sorry. You have to forgive. Because then you can jump all the way down to verse 10. So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Humility. In a humble way. We go before our Lord and say, I, a poor, miserable sinner, paying attention to myself.